righty. I want to share a short teaching. I feel the Lord wants to say to us tonight. And I tried my best to get him to let me just teach Song of Solomon tonight, honestly. I said, I don't want to do this. So I pulled out my old Song of Solomon manual, and it was deader than a doornail, and put it up. And I said, I know, I'll just teach it straight from the Bible. Couldn't get into that either. So I gave up. I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, I don't like being a hammer. I don't like it. I feel like more and more and more I'm a hammer. It's not easy for me. It's not my personality. Those of you that really know me, you know I'm not a hammer. But I feel like Yahweh is a hammer right now in this season. I feel like he's wanting to wake us up and shake us up and get us to open our eyes and see and open our ears and hear and recognize the seriousness of the hour that we're living in. And you know, I might be wrong. It might not be 7 years. I could be wrong. But boy, I sure prefer to live my life as if I have 7 years left and do business and get this all lined up and have 10 years left or have 20 years left, right? Then not do anything and live as if, right? I don't think I'm wrong, but I could be. And I feel the pressure that Yahweh's putting across the earth. It was eye-opening for me to be out in the world for a week. You know, I don't get out in the world very much. And to be with people that live in the world and love the Lord. But just has a different view of how a Christian lives, right? Anyway, I found myself so grieved a number of times over the state of the church, people, Christians, not Christians. I was very, I don't know, I think I just had my eyes opened to how bad it really is out there in a lot of ways. So the question I felt the Lord wanted me to ask us, you know, a few weeks ago was, why do you come here? And tonight I feel like he said, what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? You're fighting for something. We all are. Are you fighting for your rights? Are you fighting to be right? Are you fighting to be good enough? Are you fighting to be liked? Are you fighting to not have to do anything? You know? Are you fighting to be lukewarm? Are you fighting to be on fire? Are you fighting to hear and see and perceive in the spirit? Or are you just okay with being lukewarm? Yahweh never, ever is okay with being in second place, ever. He is to always be in first place. He's to always be your first love. So I just I got to stop and pray something. Father, I just thank you right now for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your angels in this room. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are the one who guides us and leads us into all truth. And so we come before you right now in the name of Yeshua, and we say, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to obey. And Father, if you desire a hammer, you get a hammer. If you desire velvet, you get velvet. If you desire whatever, whatever you desire. Have your way. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our midst tonight. I pray that for every person in this room, that your kingdom would come in every one of us and your will would be done in each one of us. That you would be glorified, that you would increase and we would decrease, that we could see things that we've never seen before and understand things perhaps that we've never understood. And in the name of Yeshua, I take authority over any and every demonic entity that would try to come and kill, steal, or destroy the word that you want to bring, Father. And I command every one of these entities to step aside in the name of Yeshua, and you go wherever he commands you to go. We don't want you, we don't need you, and you're not here to help us, so you have to leave. Now, Father, would you fill this place with your holy angels? And we receive the ministry of angels, and we say to you, do whatever it is that Father sent you here to do. We receive your ministry, and we appreciate your help. And Father, would you glorify your Son? Holy Spirit, be our help in time of need. In Yeshua's name we all pray. Amen. So Yeshua came to this earth for a number of reasons. I want to just highlight four of them. Number one, Yahweh sent Yeshua here to go toe-to-toe, face-to-face with the fallen gods and to ultimately judge them with the judgment, the verdict of death, that they would die like a human. We've talked about that before. That's one reason he came. I think that's one of these, all four, I believe, are the top four. Number two, Yahweh sent Yeshua here to take back the nations from the gods. Number three, Yahweh sent Yeshua here to save us and bring us back to himself. And number four, he sent Yeshua here to create a new Eden, an Eden that will be worldwide, not just a little garden. Not that Eden, the first garden wasn't little, but it wasn't worldwide. He sent Yeshua here to create a sacred space for himself, which is what the original Eden was as well. Yeshua also came to bring to the earth the eternal plan that the Father had for this creation called earth and mankind. In the Old Testament, the fullness of his mission was hidden. There was not the revelation in the Old Testament of a Messiah who would come to this earth, who would rule and reign, so that he could save people and bring them back to the Father, and do so by dying on a cross. That was hidden in the Old Testament. Yahweh did not reveal the whole plan. And that's why it's called a mystery. And so Yeshua came to bring the new covenant that would reveal the hidden mystery that was there before the foundation of the world. Yahweh planned it even then. Everything changed when Yeshua rose from that grave and he ascended into heaven and took his place on the throne. Everything changed. Everything changed for Satan. Everything changed for the other creatures that follow Satan and the other gods. And everything changed for humanity. And ultimately, for the future of this globe, the world. Yahweh, as Yeshua took his place on the throne, Yahweh was finally, because of that, now able to reveal his full plan of redemption. And that full plan of redemption ends in a wedding. You know, we often think of the end of Revelation and the end of time being the great white throne judgment. That's not the end. The wedding is the end and the beginning. It all ends and begins with a wedding. The wedding of the century. And so we see Paul. Paul was given the revelation and preached about it. Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua reveals to Paul that there's something greater than salvation. And like I've said so many times, the church has made the gospel about salvation. We've made it about ourselves, just like we've made everything else about ourselves. But Yahweh's plan from the beginning was, it really wasn't even salvation. His plan from the beginning wasn't salvation. His plan from the beginning was to create a vessel who would voluntarily allow himself to live inside of them. So that he could have relationship, intimate relationship. No division, no separation. Yahweh in me and me in him. That was his plan from the beginning. It wasn't to save us. So he reveals that to Paul. And the reason he created man was he needed a vessel. Yahweh needed an empty glass. Now, we're so full of ourselves that sometimes he has a hard time filling us up. The Old Testament pointed to the Messiah, but did not reveal that Messiah would be a bridegroom who longed to live inside of human beings. Heaven, now that Yeshua's on the throne, the Lamb, heaven is longing, and so is the earth, longing for that day when Yahweh's original plan will be accomplished on this earth. Before anything was created, before time existed, before Yahweh had created the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, the council, all of those creatures, when there was only Yahweh, nothing else existed, just Yahweh. I don't know if you can put those two words together, just, because just implies something simple. Just Yahweh, only Yahweh existed. Back in that time, he had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a mission. He had a goal. And Ephesians 1, I want to read Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 11. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in himself, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, the things in the heavens, the things on the earth. In him, in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Yahweh moved before creation and established this eternal counsel and established his eternal will and his plans and his purposes. And I'm here to tell you, sin was not part of that. Adam's fall was not part of his plan. I want you to think about that. Did he know about it?
Yes.
Yeah. He had foreknowledge of everything. But did he predestine it? Did he plan it and say, this is going to happen because I'm going to make sure Adam sins? No. No way. So the issues of sin were not part of his original plan. Now, at that point, when nothing was created, there was no Jew, no Gentile, there was no sin, there was no male or female, no division, no chaos, no corruption, no abuse, no hatred, no death, no distinctions. That wasn't in his plan. When he planned creation, none of those things were there. Man was unfallen in his plan. Man, in his plan, was to choose to eat from the tree of life. And that life, eternal life, was in that tree. Had Adam and Eve eaten from that tree, Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would have moved inside of Adam and Eve, and they would have become they would be a vessel for his presence, which is what his plan was. That's what he planned. Now, in planning that, he gave Adam and Eve a choice to follow his script or not. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that, but if I was God, I just don't know that I'd have gave myself that kind of headache. I mean, it cost him his life. It cost him 33 years of suffering. Plus, I remember the time he told me that he didn't just suffer for 33 years. He suffered from the moment Adam and Eve sinned until the end. He suffered for 6,000 years. That's what it cost him. Because sin causes pain and all kinds of terrible fruit comes from people sinning against other people, etc. So Yahweh's plan did not involve that. His plan for humanity was to have a perfect vessel that Yahweh could live inside of. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting to be that vessel? Because I'm here to tell you something. When I was teaching Song of Solomon and traveling all over the place, I think I was in London at the time. And, you know, they're really prim and proper there. And I remember in one of the conferences I made the statement, I don't speak Hebrew, and somebody in the audience said, you don't speak English either. Really? Like, oh, well. But I was in this conference, and the Spirit of the Lord hit me. I mean, hit me. And next thing I know, I'm standing on a chair. And the Lord said something like, through me, something like, if you have any other lovers, you don't have me. And he said some more things. But you get my point. Yahweh's plan is to have a faithful bride because he's a faithful bridegroom. And he said he will not be unequally yoked. So if we aren't faithful, we won't be his bride because he will not be unequally yoked. And, you know, we talked about on Wednesday night, what does it mean to be prepared as the bride? What does that look like? What does it mean for each one of us personally? And I think that's a very valid question, and I think it's one that we would be wise to really consider and take serious, especially in this hour. So when Yahweh created Adam and Eve, his plan was that they would eat from the tree of life like they were told to do, and Yahweh would live inside of them. They would have children. They would populate the earth, and through Adam and Eve partnering with Yahweh living inside of them, the gospel would be shed to those children and the grandchildren and the great-grand, and the gospel would spread, the gospel meaning, not what we've probably come to be taught that it is, but the gospel being, there's Yahweh living in heaven who doesn't want to live in heaven. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to be so close to you that there's no separation, no distinction, not male, not female, just Yahweh and me, as a spirit to us with a spirit. Humanity is the key to, hear me, to Yahweh getting what he wants. Because he's not going to force you to be Christ-like. He's not going to force you to share the gospel. He's not going to force you to write that letter, Celeste, and stand up for what Yahweh says, or Brenda, or all of us in our different areas. He won't force us to do those things. So we become the vessel, the key for Yahweh's dream to cover, for him to live in people, every nation, every tongue, every tribe. But he's limited himself by his partnership with weak, self-centered human beings. You talk about Yahweh valuing choice and not forcing us. Some days I wish he hadn't given me so much leeway. You know, I still want to have my free will. Don't get me wrong. But I just wish it wasn't so broad. I wish I could pick the areas that I want to do what I want to do, right? It doesn't work that way. Mankind can give birth to human beings, but we can't make them love Yahweh. We can't make them mature into the image of Christ. Only the life of Yahweh living inside of someone by his spirit can do that. See the partnership? The necessity was for Yahweh to create a vessel who would voluntarily choose him so that he could live, Yahweh could live his life through that vessel. Man was intended by Yahweh to be the hope for the rest of the creation on this earth. And we still are. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting for Yahweh's dream? That he would have his dream? That he would have his plan that he originally planned? Or are you just sitting back and letting somebody else do it? Or etc. What are you fighting for? Because Adam failed the test, failed to choose, chose himself instead of perfect love, Yahweh had a backup plan because he foreknew it. He saw it ahead of time, and before the foundation of the world, Yeshua agreed to die on the cross. So the Son of Yahweh would become the Adam that the first Adam never was. He would be that empty vessel that would allow Yahweh to live in him and live his life through Yeshua. And he said it. I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I hear, what I see him do. He lived by the life of his Father. We're, most of us in the church are satisfied with salvation. I mean, that's pretty good, right? I'm happy I have the gift, free gift of salvation. But do you know that Yahweh's not happy with us just simply having the gift of salvation? There's so much more. Christ is all we need. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the slain lamb who shed his blood to forgive me so that I can empty myself and surrender and allow him to live his life through me. He'll be my life, my everything. He'll be the one I fight for. He'll be the reason I fight. He'll be the reason I don't quit when I want to quit. The reason I don't give up when I'm weary. He'll be the reason that I lay my life down so that others can live. He's the reason I keep going. It's the reason I keep loving my enemies, forgiving my enemies, blessing them. He's the one I fight for. He's the one that orchestrates my day, teaches me how to love people, when to be that hammer and when to be the soft velvet, when to listen, when to speak, when to rest, when to go past what I think I can even do. We often consider so many things to be so important, and so many of those things are worthless and meaningless to Yahweh. I tell you, it's been so nice in one regard for me personally, reminding myself, we may only have 7 years on this earth left. 3.5. We may not have another day. I might go home tonight, tomorrow, I might. angel. That's not mine. Mine's going to go off, though, in about 15 minutes. No, I didn't bring my phone. Yay. Thank you. That was nice background music, though. But you know, it really does put life in perspective if you stop and say, you know what, I may only have 7 years left, 6.5. I may. Might be more. Might be less. I mean, look at Scott. As soon as I heard that whole thing, my first thought was, yeah, I got on my knees and I said, Yahweh, you saved that man's life. You saved his life. Thank you for that cough. It wouldn't go away. How many things are like that in our lives, right? All this irritating stuff here, and we have no idea that Yahweh's allowing it because he wants to get at something that's more serious than the little thing, right? Yeah. Right. And that, it's so true. So, I believe Yahweh wants to focus our vision, give us clear vision as to what really is important, what's worth fighting for in your life. I believe he wants to bring us to that truth. I believe he wants to humble us. You know, and if you even have the thought, oh, I'm already humble, or I don't need to be humble, well, that's the proof right there. You've got some pride. I mean, I believe he wants to humble us and have us humble ourselves. He told me years ago, you can either humble yourself or I will humiliate you. Yes, Toby. I agree. I don't think we can ever get humble enough. You're right. I believe he wants us to repent and get out of our self-centered lifestyles. Repent meaning turn away from them, live a different way. I believe he wants us to get rid of those worthless idols that we don't even realize are in our lives. The outward things, the things that aren't going to matter in 100 years or 7 years or 8 years or 3 years or tomorrow. Those things that we value more than him, the things that we fight for in this world that aren't worth fighting for. The truth is, there's really nothing but the cross and the resurrection of the Lamb. That's where we will find the place to devastate our self-life. When we see that cross and the price it was paid, and we understand it, to destroy our self-centered living, how much we think about ourselves, how much we value ourselves, how important our comfort is, or being understood, or being liked, or being heard, or being seen, or being known, or being fill in the blank. We need a realignment. And I believe we need a fresh baptism in filling of the Holy Spirit. Fresh infilling of his life. I've been pretty exhausted lately for a while, actually. And I was asking the Lord, would he turn that around? What is it? Would you help me? You know, the whole prayer thing, right? And he just really clearly showed me that that's his gift to me. Because, man, when I'm weak, That's when I rely on Him the most. That's when I have to pray more. That's when I have to ask for His help. That's when I have to lean on that grace and say, you know what, I can't do this. If you don't do it, it ain't happening. So if you want it done, you got to do it through me. And I've been doing a whole lot of those prayers lately. Oh, Yahweh, I ask you to break us. I ask you to destroy our old wineskins, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of living, our old ways of interacting with people. And I'm asking you to help us by breaking us, shattering our hard shells, our self-centeredness. Destroy, Yahweh, the old wineskins that we're so comfortable with. We're so comfortable that we don't even recognize we have them. They feel very familiar, Yahweh. So I'm asking you, for everyone in this room who's longing for more, longing for you to have your dream, Father, break us so we'll lay everything down until we're filled with your new wine. Break us so we'll stop pointing our fingers at other people and accusing others. Break us so that we'll stop fearing things that won't matter in 100 years. Father, would you do a work in us so that we'll stop living for the moment and start living for the King? Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts right now. Do a work in our minds. Do a work in our will. Do a work in our emotions. Give us dove's eyes. Eyes that can only see you. Give us a fight for your dream, that there would be a people on this earth who are lovesick, that you are their first love. And let us be part of that people. Yahweh, let us be part of the bride of Christ. Break us. Help us to prepare for your return. Deliver us from ourselves and deliver us from the enemy. What do you want? I think that's a valid question. What do you want? I can stand up here and say, this is what Yahweh wants. And if your dream doesn't line up with His dream, there's a problem. Somebody else is on the throne. What do you want? How low are you willing to go? Do you have a limit? Lord, I'll go this far and no more. As long as it doesn't cost me anything, as long as I don't suffer too much, I'll go this low. Will you go all the way? What time are we living in? We're living in the last days for sure. The question is, how many days do we have left? I believe the great falling away is already happening. It's already begun in the church. I believe we're living in a time when Yeshua and Yahweh are looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe he's moving in a way that he's looking for that vessel who will surrender and empty him or herself so that he can possess them. The bride of Christ will be possessed by the living God. Not in a, I'm going to control you, you have no say, I'm going to take over way. Not that way. That's the counterfeit. But an ownership where he says, I belong to you, you belong to me, we're one. And he's looking for those vessels who will live that way. I believe he's calling across this land, calling to the hearts of men and women and children to see who will answer his call. And in those, for those who answer his call and rise up, Yahweh will seal them according to his will, according to his purpose, according to his way. He will seal them. And it's clear in Revelation that that seal will protect them in ways, and doesn't mean you won't suffer. It mostly means he'll protect your relationship with him. He's in the process of delivering us from the curse of Christianity that is man-centered, man-focused, and man-serving. And he's going to move in power on those who are willing to align themselves with his eternal plan and his eternal desire to be a vessel for him to dwell in. I believe he's desiring to deliver us from the smallness of our self-centered lives. I had a couple of days ago a revelation with someone. I got permission to use this. I saw this person in a black space, not a pinpoint of light anywhere, and it was constricting this place. This person was just in a tight ball being constricted and couldn't move. It was terrible. It was terrible. And I began to pray, and all of a sudden, the image, I zoomed out, and I saw that this person was in the womb of Satan. And I'd never seen that before or thought of it or whatever. And I saw that that constriction was actually Yahweh's hands. And he said, I'm going to deliver her. And he began to talk to me about what, you know, we talk all the time about what childbirth is like for the mother, but rarely for the baby. And he began to talk to me about how painful it is for a baby to be born, and the pressure that it takes, and the energy that it takes, and how difficult it is, and it takes time. It doesn't just happen with a snap of fingers. It takes time. And he began to explained to me that that's what he's doing right now. I believe across the earth, he's delivering those who've said, I want Yahweh, and going to deliver them out of Satan's kingdom and into the kingdom of light, into his kingdom. From now on, when I hear deliver or deliver, that's what I think of now. I've never put those two together, that he views deliverance as being born from above. Brand new life coming where there was none before. Yeah, Yahweh is bringing Yeshua back to the forefront of our hearts and back into his house, the temple. Zeal for Yahweh's house is consuming him. The Lord is truly gathering his people together, those who choose to come. I believe, especially in a lot of our churches in this nation, that Yahweh's been kicked out of his own house. And some of them he's left on his own. So, human thoughts and giftings and talents and abilities and reasonings and human smarts have taken his place. Yahweh's shaking everything that can be shaken. His Holy Spirit is moving. And he's going to be raising up messengers that have fire in their bones. And you can't shut them up. Yahweh, let us be that people, part of that people. We won't bow down to the will of man or to please man, but we'll speak as he tells us to speak, because his church, his body, is meant to be a messenger. Priests are messengers. And I believe Yahweh is calling and putting his hand on individuals. And a lot of those are foolish people. He chooses the weak things of this world, the foolish things. It's his way, you know, because he knows us so well, man. If we got any kind of gift or talent or smarts, we take credit. And if he chooses people like me with very little, right, all of us in this room, we'll give him the glory. He's calling men and women in this hour who are not afraid to take a stand for righteousness. He's looking for a bride who can't be bought, controlled, manipulated, deceived. A bride who has an inward fire called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will be unconquerable. And the only way to stop them will be to kill them. And beloved, we're in training for that. If I try to save my life, I lose it. If I lose my life for his sake, I gain it. We're in training for that. And you don't think that, oh, I'll just wait, and if I'm ever in a position where I'm going to be martyred, I'll just choose martyrdom. No, not if you're being lazy today. Not if you're not living that way today. That's a spiritual muscle. The vessel that possesses this new wine that Yeshua prophesied would happen, that vessel will be hated by the church in this nation. Dull hearts are offended by burning hearts. They hate it because you make them look bad. Yahweh, I ask you to release us from the fear of man. Release us from the fear of man, Yahweh. If we're to be a messenger of his fire, then the fear of man cannot be in us. We must be utterly devastated and broken to be the bride of Christ. Because Yeshua was utterly devastated and broken. The measure of our brokenness will be the measure of his Holy Spirit in us. He must increase so that we will decrease. I didn't want to say the sentence when I was writing down what he was saying. Deleted it. Fear of the Lord came all over me. I put it back in, so you're going to get it. Yahweh will pass us by if we have the old wineskin. He said, I cannot. He didn't say, I will not. He said, I cannot pour new wine, my spirit, into an old wineskin. He will pass us by if we have the old wineskin. Yahweh's calling us out of the old. We can't fear the results of our choices. And we can't worry about being liked or being politically correct or criticism from people out there and being called a cult and everything else in between. You can't lead and need at the same time. I've said that for years. Because if you need, you'll find yourself compromising. You can't need anything from anybody except Yahweh. Yahweh will have that vessel called the bride. He promised his son. And it's probably going to cost a lot of people their lives. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting at all? Or are you okay just being okay with the way you are and the way things are? I'm not okay with where I'm at. We're living in a whole different time. No one's ever lived in a time like this on this earth. Yahweh, we need the spirit and power of Elijah. We need that fire shut up in our bones. And we need the hammer of your word. Like Jeremiah said, we need to fight for it, Yahweh. We've come into a place, a divine moment in history where the end of the age is right around the corner. And we're not ready. I'm not ready. Holy Spirit, you're our only hope. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're our only hope. Here we are, your sons and daughters. You created us. You chose us. You've delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. You've set your seal on us. So would you come in the Spirit with your hammer for whoever in this room is in agreement and choosing? And would you break the old wineskin? Would you break any and everything that does not line up with your dream, your plans? Yahweh, would you put in us the fight that you have in your heart as the divine warrior? Everything that we turn to for comfort, for help, for pleasure, that is taking your place, Yahweh, I ask you to bring your hammer to it. Every ungodly response to this life,